The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone. This week's Parsha is Parsha Shoftim. At the end of Parsha Shoftim, in the Devarim Chof Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, the Torah tells us, Ki motzei cholol ba'adoma asher Hashem elekecho neisin l'chol l'rishto, that if you find a dead body on the land which Hashem is giving to you to inherit, nefel basoda, it has fallen in the field, le'neida mihi ko'u, and it is not known who has smitten him. V'yotzu z'kenecho v'shevtecho u'moridu ele ha'orim asher spivei secholol. And the elders and the judges shall go out and they shall measure to see which city is it closest to. And then, when it's determined which city it is closest to, then the elders of that city, originally the elders of these Sanhedrin, Hagdel, and Yerushalayim, would measure. And then once it's determined that it's closer to one city, then the elders of that city would come. And they would have to bring from that city an eglas bokor, a calf, ashele mashka ba'ol, that was never used for work, and never carried a yoke. V'hididu zikne yirahi eso eglo, al nachal eson, ashele ye oved bo'e v'le yizorea. And they bring, the elders bring this calf down to a river which is a river which runs very rapidly and which is in an area which was never worked and never planted. And the Chazal Darshan, the Lo Yeved Bevele Yizorea, doesn't only refer to the past but it also refers to the future, that this area is forbidden now to work that field or to plant. And they should kill the calf there by they break its neck. And the Kahanim, they shall come forward because these are the ones that Hashem had designated. Alpiyam Yekol Di V'chol Noga. They are designated to resolve all of the litigations and so forth. And then all of the elders of the city, the judges, they wash their hands there. And the onavi omru, and they say, Yodeinu leshofchu es adom hazeh, that our hands have not caused this blood to be spilled. And we have not seen who has killed him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should forgive Yisrael. He should redeem them. And he should not blame them for this innocent blood. And they should be forgiven. And you shall rid yourselves from the guilt of this innocent blood which is within you. When you'll do what is upright in the eyes of Hashem. So this is the parsha, what is known as Egla Arufa, where they would take the calf and they would kill the calf because someone was killed and he was found between the cities on the way and it wasn't known, they couldn't find the murderer. In Masechta Seta there's an entire perek, a whole chapter, which deals with the laws of Egla Arufa. And the chapter is known as Egla Arufa. We can't go through too many of these this evening, but let us just quote one or two. One of the Mishnais, and Daf Memhei, the end of Amud Beis, says, Zikne Yisa Yer Eksina Shedehen Bamaim Bemokam Ariva Shel Eglo. The elders of the city, they washed their hands with water in the place where they killed the calf, the Amrim, and they say, Yodena Leshochas Adom Azev Einena Leirou. Our hands have not spilled this blood, and our eyes have not seen who did it. Bechi Ol Datenu. Also bezdin domimain. Would it enter a person's mind that the elders of the bezdin, they are the ones who killed him, that they have to say that our hands are not guilty? Elo, this is what is meant, that they must say shelebo al yodenu upatranuhu, that yodenu leshavku, our hands are not guilty. This means that he didn't come into our hands. Upatranu belemozen. It's speaking about a traveler because he was found outside the city. He did not come into our hands, and we let him go without mozen, without food. Belerinuhu vihinachnu belelevaya. And what does it mean? Our eyes did not see. That our eyes did not see him leave the city. And we let him go out of the city without Levaya. Levaya means an escort. Va'kohanim aimrim kapel amcho Yisrael asher podisa Hashem v'altitein damnoki bekerav amcho Yisrael lohoyot srichin leime v'nikapel lehem adom ela ruach hakedish mevasoson emosai shetzaseh kocha adom miskapel lohem. When they did this, then a Ruach HaKedish, a Baskol, would say, you are forgiven if you do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us. Then the Gemara, a little further, and Daf Mem Vov, at the end of Omer Aleph, why did the Torah say, Rabbi Yechon ben Shol says, that we should bring this calf down to a river? Why did the Torah say that we should bring a calf? What was the significance of the calf? Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, also, it was the calf, and it was brought to a river, to where around the riverbed, this place was a place which was not worked and not planted. So what is the significance of this? Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yoveh Doveh Shelei Osa Peres, Yerav B'mokam She'en Eisi Peres. Bring a young calf, which has not given forth its fruits yet, and bring her to a place, to a piece of land, which also has not given forth its fruit yet. It was a piece of land which was not worked. And let this be a kapora, an atonement, for this person who was killed and he was not allowed to bring forth his fruit. So this is the significance of the young calf, and to be brought down to this piece of land. Now the Gemara says, my Peiris, what does it mean it should be an atonement for this innocent blood that did not give forth his fruit yet? Ilema peer review doesn't mean because he was killed before he had a chance to bring into the world children. So what will happen if it's an old man who has already brought into the world children and he's not capable of bringing any more into the world? So now you can't say that he was prevented from bringing forth his peiros, his fruit. Or what would be if it's a young man but someone who's not capable of giving birth? Now you cannot say that he was prevented from giving forth his fruit. So the Gemara answer is Ela Mitzvahs. That this person that was killed, be it young or old, he was prevented from fulfilling his potential of mitzvahs. Because had he lived longer, he would have done more mitzvahs. And this was the great tragedy, that a person is killed and he is not allowed to live up to his potential. And therefore, we take a calf, a female calf, that has also not lived up to her potential, and we take it to a piece of land next to a river which was never seeded, never worked. And this land also has not lived up to its potential. And we say, let it all be a kapora for this person. Or let it be a kapora for the blood of this person. The Maral says, and it's a chidush agodas here in Seder, that mitzvahs are considered the fruits of a person. And it's similar to a piece of land. Because when Hashem created man, what name did he give him? He gave him Adam. Why? Because he was brought from the Adamah. So man is named after land, after the earth. And this means he has something very similar to the earth. You can ask a question, a behemoth. An animal also was created from the earth. Yet he is not called Adam. He has his own name. He's called a behemoth, or a chaya, or an oaf. So why man then? The earth is entirely potential. When you see a piece of earth, its total essence is that of potential energy. Its total essence is that of potential fruits. See, an earth is dependent on what you do with it. If you plant it, if you fertilize it, if you seed it, if you harvest, then it has fruits. If not, it's barren. By all of the other species, they were created and they are not necessarily at a level of potential. Their level is reached, and the level they reach, then this remains that way. Man is always a potential power, a potential force. As much as he does, he's still capable of doing more. As long as he lives, he can still bring forth fruits. And that's why mitzvahs are known as his real fruits. The one thing that man never uses his entire potential for is mitzvahs. As long as he's alive, he is capable of doing more mitzvahs. So this is the real fruits of man. And in this way, he is similar to the earth. That whenever you have the earth, you can bring forth more fruits from it. And this is why he was called Adam, in accordance to the earth. The fact is, he goes further, that we really could not give man another name, because a name is an identification of what he is. And you cannot identify a person as to what he is. It depends what he's going to do with his life. An animal you can identify. A bird you can identify. Because exactly what they are now, that is what they are. But a man is one thing today, and tomorrow is another thing. The growth potential is always there. So we cannot identify him with a name. And therefore he's called Adomo, which means a growth potential for fruits. And what are his main fruits? Mitzvahs. This was the great tragedy of this person that was killed. Whether he was a young man or an old man, he was robbed of his potential. And therefore, to show that tragedy and to ask for that kapora, we bring a calf that also has not fulfilled her potential, and we bring it to a piece of earth that also has not. The Rambam summarizes the dinim of Egla Arufa, which I as mentioned are many. Let me just quote a few. It's Rambam in Hilchos Retzeach, Perek Tes and Perek Yud. Aloha Aleph, Beis and Gimel and Dalet. Horu Shenimtze Nefel Oretz. A person who is killed and is found laying on the ground, v'leino da mihi kohu, and we don't know who killed him, meinichin esei bimkeimei, we leave him in the place where we find him. V'yetzin chamisha zekeinim im bezdin agodlish b'yushalayim. And five elders from the great court, from the Sanhedrin of Yerushalayim, come out, as it states, v'yetzu zekeinecho, v'sheftecho, u'meiridim imenu ala orim shesfiva secholot. And they measure around the dead body to see which city is closest. And it's a mitzvah limdeg. It's a mitzvah to measure. Even if you know right away which city is closest, it's a mitzvah to measure. After they measure, and they find out which city is closest, kevrin es hanerag bimkeimai. We are obligated to bury this person right where he is killed. V'chezun ziknei Yerushalayim limkeimon. And then the Zakenim, the elders, go back to their city. And the city that's found to Yerushalayim, and the city that's found closest, they bring a calf, which is paid for by the people of the city, and they bring this calf down to a river, which is a very strong river, as it states, Zehu Eson Omer Betore. Eson means a strong running river. And there they break the neck of the calf, and they wash their hands in the river. And they say, B'loshin HaKodesh, this is one of the mitzvahs that you have to say in Loshin HaKodesh in Hebrew, Yodeinu Leishofchus Adom Azeh, Veinenu Leiro'u, Kleimar, Shelei Bol Yodeinu Anera Gazeh, that this person didn't come into our hands, U'patrenu B'lei Mezenis, and we let him go away without food, V'lei Re'inuhu U'patrenu B'lei Levaya. And we saw him leave town, and we did not send an escort with him. And then the Kahanim also answer in Loshon HaKodesh, Kapel Amchu Yisrael, HaKodesh Baruch Hu should atone your nation Yisrael. And then they go, and HaKodesh Baruch Hu is Mechaper. Ain made it in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, though, does not ever bring an Egla Arufa, and you never measure to see if it comes from Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim ain't mivi Egla Arufa l'fishel nishkalkel shvotim, because Yerushalayim was not given for Yerusha. Yerushalayim was not given for inheritance. It was not divided amongst the tribes of Israel. And in this parsha, it states, Ba'adoma asher Hashem elakecha neisein l'chol rishto, when you find the corpse on the land which Hashem has given to you for inheritance. In Perek Yud, the Rambam brings in Halacha Aleph, Ein din egla arufa ne'eg ela be'eretz Yisrael, v'chein be'evar ha'yarden. This mitzvah is only in Eretz Yisrael, or evar ha'yarden. That was the other side of the Jordan, that was given to the B'nai God, B'nai Reuven. And then one more Halacha. Hanachal she'nerfa bo'ya ha'golo. This rivers, and this river bed, and the earth around it, where the eglo is killed, also bezriyah v'aveidah leilam. You're never allowed to plant, and you're never allowed to work this land, as it states, lo yi'oved v'lo yizoreah. And anyone who does, then he transgresses this negative commandment. These are a few halachas which summarize this mitzvah. Now, the Gemara continues further. The Gemara says, and Memvov Amad Beis. Tano hoy Remeya Eime. Remeya said, Keifin Levaya. See, here the finger was pointed at the city, at the people of that city, or the elders, the judges, because perhaps this traveler left that city without proper mezainis and without proper escort. So the Gemara now discusses, what does it mean, levaya, to escort? Tanya hara rameya, ayme kefin levaya. It is the city's obligation to see that when a traveler leaves, he has a proper escort. And people must do this. And if people can't do it, then they have to hire people who will fulfill this obligation for the city. And the people must pay a tax for it. And if they don't want to pay the tax, then the Beis Din forces them. Kefin levaya. Shishkar levaya in loshir. The reward to be malave, to escort someone, the reward is endless. Ein loshir. There is no limitation to the reward. How do we know this? So the Gemara brings a case. It brings a case from Tanakh in Shoftim Aleph. Shoftim Aleph, Pasukot Beis. The Tanakh is telling us how Klal Yisrael started to go and conquer the land once they were in the land. So it states, Vayalav Beis Yosef Gam Heim Beis El Vashem Imom. The house of Yosef went up to Beis El, and Hashem was with them. Their objective was to capture Beis El. Vayasir Beis Yosef Beis El Vashem Oye Lefonim Luz. They went and they spied out the city, and the name of the city before it was known as Beis El was Luz. Now, it was a city which was impossible to come into. It was a city in the mountains. And all entrances to the city were blocked by mountains. And I think especially at this time perhaps, when the Yeshvei Canaan, when the dwellers of the land knew that Klal Yisrael had come in and they wanted to capture Eretz Yisrael. Maybe at one time there was a way to get in. So it was a city that was impossible to come into. All the roads and the paths, they were blocked by steep cliffs and mountains. So the house of Yosef sent spies. And they told them to camp around the city, because there must be someone has to come out. When he comes out, see which way he came out, and then we'll know which way to go in. So the shomrim that they put there to spy out the city, they saw then a man come from the city. And they saw he just appeared. They couldn't see exactly how he came out. So they said, please show us the way into the city. And if you do that, we will do chesed for you. Now he knew what was happening. He knew that they were Israelis and they came to capture the city. But they told him that if you'll do this, then we will do chesed. We will return the favor to you. So he motioned to them where the passage to the city was. The Gemara is going to bring that he didn't actually tell them. He just motioned to them. According to one opinion, it was just with his with his mouth he motioned. According to another opinion, he pointed. Where was the passage? There was a cave that went through the mountain pass. And the mouth of the cave was blocked with a big nut tree. And a nut tree, a certain type of nut tree, was called Luz. And that's why this city was known as Luz. So you couldn't see the mouth of the cave because it was covered over with a tree. So he showed them. So from the cave they could get through the mountain pass and into the city. So they went in, the armies went in, and they smited the city, and this man and his entire family they sent to freedom. So he went to Eretz Hachitim. There he built the city, and he called it Luz as a memory of his old city. Hu Shma Ad Hayim Hazeh. And that's the name of the city until today. The Chazal tell us that wherever it states in the Kisvei HaKodesh, Ad Hayom Hazeh, this is the name or this is the place until today. What does it mean, Ad Hayom Hazeh? Until today, it depends when the reader is reading it. If he's reading it in the 5th century, if he's reading it in the 20th century, what does it mean, Ad Hayom Hazeh? It's a prophecy. It's a prophecy that this is what it'll be forever. That no matter when you read it, when it says Ad Hayom Hazeh until this very day, it means it will always be that way. So this city that this person built, and again he called it Luz, that's the name of the city. The city has remained and will remain forever. This is the story in the Tanakh in Shoftim. So the Gemara brings the story, and it says, Tanya, he Luz should save in Bot Chelis. This is the city of Luz where they used to use the Chelis to dye various things that they had to. The Chelis was what the bluish green that they used for certain garments of the Kain Godel, or what they needed for the Mishkan, or what they needed for the Tzitzis. He Luz shebos hanchere v'lei balbil nevuchanetz v'lei chrivo. This is Luz that remained Luz forever. When Sanhedrin came and he moved all of the populations around, this he didn't touch. When the Nebuchadnezzar came and destroyed the base of English in Klal Yisrael, he didn't touch it. And even the Malach HaMoves does not have permission to bother the city. If that's the case, so how does anyone ever die? When someone becomes very old in that city, and he's so old that he's tired of living already, then he goes outside the city, and there he dies. But as long as he stays in the city, he doesn't die. The Malach HaMoves has no permission to go into the city. So the Gemara says now, "Valei dvorim kal v'chemer." So from here we can learn a kal v'chemer. Umak nani zeh, this kenani shalei diber b'piv. He didn't say anything with his mouth. And he didn't walk with the person. What did he do? He helped. They were ala derech. The Israelis were in the process of ala derech. They were on the journey. And what did he do? He helped them. Gorem lehatzolo, leil zarat save kol aderech. What did he get from this? He was saved, and his family and children were saved, until the end of all generations. So Mishay Salavaya Baraglov, so someone who escorts a person by walking, actually walking with him, Al Achas Kama Vakama. So how much more so? So we see Levaya Ein Lo Shir. There is no limitation to the reward that one gets from escorting a traveller or helping a traveller on the way. By Meher Alehem, how did he show them where the city was? Chizkia Omer Befiv. Chizkia said, Befiv he came, he motioned with his mouth. Rabbi Yechanan Omer Be'etzba Heralehem. Rabbi Yechanan said, with his finger. So all he had to do was motion with his mouth or his finger, and this was the reward he received. Omer Rabbi Shua Ben Levi. Now the Gemara brings the second case. Amahalach B'derech Vein Le'Levaya. If a person is walking on a journey and he has no one to escort him, what should he do? Yasek b'Torah. He should then learn Torah. Shneimar ki liv yeschein heim l'reishecho v'anokim l'gagreishecho. L'gagreishecho. That the Torah is the simple meaning is that the Torah is an ornament for a person's head and for his neck. It's like a beautiful tachshit, a beautiful jewelry that a person would put like a crown for a person's head, a tiara, and a chain of jewelry for a person's neck. But it's called Livyaschein. Livyaschein means that it escorts a person. The best escort is Torah. So therefore, if you're walking on the way and you have no escort, then you should study Torah. And you'll have the escort of Torah. Omer Bishvil Ben Levi. Now the Gemara brings a further case. Bishvil Arbe Pesiyah Shelova Para Labraham. Paroi had an episode with Avraham, if you recall. when Avraham went, had to go down to Egypt because there was a famine in the land, and Parai took Sarah. And when he realized that it was Avram's wife, so he gave her back. So it states in Lech Lecha, Breishis Yud Beis Posuk Chof, Vayitzavah Lov Parai Anoshim. Parai gave Avraham many gifts. And then he commanded people, Vayishalchu Eisai Vesishte Vizkol Ashilai. He commanded people and he sent him away together with his wife and all that he had. What does it mean he commanded people Vayishalchu? So the Targum says, Upakid aleo paro guvrin balviu yose. He commanded his servants to go and escort Avraham away. So Parah was fulfilled this mitzvah of Levaya. So the Gemara tells us, Bishvil arba psiya shelov parah le Avraham shenema veitzavel of parah enoshim. Evidently, though, they didn't escort Avraham very far. They only walked four steps with him. Nishtabet bebon of arba meyashona shenema vavod veino esom arba meyashona. This gave Parai the strength, this mitzvah, gave Parai the schus and the strength to rule over Avraham. And where did this show itself? When Parai's descendant ruled over Avraham's descendants for 400 years in Egypt. And the schus that he commanded people to escort Avraham away. And he only walked four steps. This gave Parai the power, his descendants, to rule over Avraham's descendants 400 years. Then the Gemara brings another case. Omar Vihram Arav, Kola Malaves Chaveira Abba Ames Bi'ir. Whoever walks four cubits in the city with his friend who's going on a trip, Eino Nizuk. So now, that friend will not come to any danger. Ravino Alvei Lerovo Bar Yitzchok Dalet Ames Bi'ir. Ravino was escorting Rovo Bar Yitzchok for four cubits in the city. Motel Yode Ezeko. All of a sudden, later on, when he went on the journey, a danger appeared, Vistel, and he was suddenly saved from it. And that was in the skus that Ravino was Malava had escorted him. Then the Gemara tells us that there are different dimensions, different distances that one is obligated. Tana Rabbon and Harav le Talmud al Ibur Shulia. A Rebbe has to escort his Talmud when he's going on a journey. How far to Ibur Shulia? That's a distance of 70 amos outside the last houses of the city. Chove le Chove at Chum Shabbos. Two Chaverim. One has to escort the other one further. Tum Shabbos, 2,000 cubits outside of the city. Talmud Rav, a disciple to the Rebbe, Ein lo shir. Then there's no shir. Or how much is it? At Parso. Parso is 8,000 amos, which is a long distance. It's about 4 or 5 kilometers, and this is by a regular Rebbe, but. Rabbi Shena Muvik, Aval Rabbi Muvik, Rabbi Muvik is Shlesha Parsis, three times that amount. Then the Gemara brings another case. Rav Kahana Avyil Rav Shimi Bar Ashi Mipun Nara Ad Bei Tziniso, the Bovel. Rav Shimi Rav Kahana was escorting Rav Shimi from Pumnara. This is a place in Bovel, a city in Bovel. He was traveling from Pumnara, and he escorted him till he came to a place called Beit Siniso, the Bovel. Beit Siniso, the Bovel, means the house, the area of Tzinisos. What are Tzinisos? Those are the kolim. Those are date trees. He escorted him till he came to a place which was known for its date tree groves. Kimato Hashem, When he came, the Romalei Vadai Damrita Hanit Sinso, the Bovel, Mishnei Ormerishon Isnu. He says, I'll leave you here now. And then he said that they say that these date groves are here from the time of Odomarishon. Omalei, so Rav Shimi answered of Kahana, Adakron Milso, Domer B'yesh B'chanina. He says, you reminded me of something that I learned by Rabbi Yosef ben Bechanina. What does it mean when it says Be'eres le'ovar bo'ish v'le'yoshovo odom shom? Yirmiyahu talks about a land where no man ever went to and no man ever lived there. So he says, v'chi me'ache sh'le'ovar heichen yoshov. If it's a land where no man ever went to, so we understand nobody ever lived there. So what does he mean? He's speaking of a land where no man ever walked through and no man ever lived. Elo, Eretz Gozar Leo Odom Arishon L'Yishuv Nishashva. A portion of the land in the world where Odom Arishon, the first man, decreed that people should live, then they lived there. Eretz Shelei Gozar Leo Odom Arishon L'Nishashva. But land which Odom Arishon decreed that people should not live, then they never lived. So that's what it means, a land where no man walked through and no man ever lived there. Because Odom Arishon never decreed that men should walk there, and therefore they never lived there. See, you find places in the world that have always been inhabited. You find other places in the world that have never been inhabited. And in the wilds, you go up to the extremities, to the Arctic or the Antarctic, or you go to the Amazon, or to the rainforests, or deserts, or wherever it might be. Why are some lands in the world inhabited, and others are not? So this is from Odom Arishon. He decreed which lands people should live in, and which lands people should not live in. Then the Gemara brings that whoever is not melave his chaveiroi is kilu shefik damim. It's as if he spills blood. The Gemara goes further also into this, but this suffices for what we want to speak about. So from here we see that there's a very, very great mitzvah of escorting. Let's see if we can explain this evening a little more as to what this mitzvah is and what's its purpose and what do all of these gemaras mean that we've quoted. This is in accordance to the principles which the Maral writes either in the Chidush Agodas to Seite or also in his Nesiva Chesed. The first principle is that when a person is on a journey, then, and this is what is known as an Erech, we have the great mitzvah of Achnosis Orchim. Achnosis Orchim means to take care of an Erech. An Erech means a traveler. See, the main Achnosis Orchim is a traveler. And that's what we learn from Avraham Avinu. And Avraham Avinu fulfilled that mitzvah, and this is where we learn all of the halachas from. So the three people that he was dealing with, they were angels, but he thought they were people. They were travelers. And part of the mitzvah of Achnosis Orchim is Levaya. The fact is, they bring that it says that Avraham built an eshel. He built an eshel to do chesed for the travelers. The simple meaning of an eshel is a tree. There's different midrashim. Some say that he built a tree, that there should be shade. Other midrashim says that he built actually an orchard, that there should be what to eat. And others say pundik. He actually, Avraham used to go and he used to build hotels. He was in the hotel business. Although his conception of a hotel business is different than the conception today of a hotel business. He wasn't interested in casinos. He used to build hotels along the road, and he used to stock them with food. And travelers knew that this was a place where they could stay. They would eat and they would stay. And this is what it says, that Avraham, he vayita Avraham eshel, that he planted an eshel. And then the Chazal tell us that the eshel stands for achilo, the aleph is achilo, and the sheen is shtia, and the lamed, there are two opinions what it stands for. Some say it stands for lina. He gave, these hotels were full of food to eat and what to drink, and lina and places to sleep, to lodge. Or the lamed stands for levaya. Evidently, he had organized that people would escort the travelers away. So to fulfill the mitzvah of, and this is brought in halacha, to fulfill the mitzvah of achnosis orchim in its fullness, then you must give the orech to eat, to drink, lodging. If you notice, when the three angels came, Avraham wanted them to stay, wanted them. They didn't want to stay. At least he let them rest under the tree. See? Lodging and levaya. It states there that Avraham went with them. See, actually, this is one of the sources that we learn it from, that it states that he went to send them away, and it states also that HaKadosh Baruch Hu went with Avraham to send them away. Even HaKadosh Baruch Hu was malave. So this is our source for the mitzvah of achnosis orchim, which refers to a traveler, and to the levaya. Now, when a person is traveling, and this means he's uprooted from his place of permanency, he's no longer in his home, he's no longer in the city, he's no longer together with his people, and he's al ha-derech, and he's walking between cities, then he is in special need of chesed. Not only for the purpose, because he's suffering the discomforts of the journey. This is a simple logical reason. People travel. Traveling is difficult. You can't have the luxuries that you have at home or the conveniences that you have at home on the train or on the airplane or on a camel. Okay? So he's suffering the discomfort of not being at home, both physically and emotionally. So this is one reason why we were commanded to take special care of the orech. He's in need of chesed more than the average person who's at home. But there's another reason also. And that is that he needs shmirah. He needs to be guarded. He needs to be taken care of. Because the Chazal always tell us that the journey, when a person goes on a journey and he goes outside of the city, it's becheskes sakonar. He is vulnerable to dangers that a person who's at home or in his own city is not vulnerable to. Kol adrochim becheskes sakonar. The roads are dangerous. I remember many years ago people used to want to say, that's in the old days, but not today. Yeah. They've changed their minds quickly. The roads are dangerous. No matter what means of travel you use, if you're going by car, if you're going by boat, if you're going by plane, whatever it is, the roads are dangerous. And the Chazal tell us why. And this is why there was a special tefilas haderech. That when a person, the Gemara tells us that before you go on a journey, hamlech bekeinecho, speak to your maker before you go on your journey. What is that? Tfilas haderech. A person needs a special tefillah. And why is that? Besides the logical, physical reasons, there's a deeper reason. And that is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he created the world, so there was also the creation of evil in the world. There are all types of mazikim. You have criminals, you have murderers, you have gangsters, you have chayos ra'os, you have animals, you have snakes, you have disease, And you have mazikin, you have certain supernatural mazikin also, such as shading devils and whatnot. Now, all of these have a greater influence and a greater power outside of the Yishuv Bnei Adam, outside of civilized areas. Civilization protects itself. And when you're among civilized people, well, it's supposed to be that way today. You can question that even when you're in the cities, are you among civilized people? But at least this is the way it's supposed to be. When you're among civilized people, there's a shmira. There's a guardianship. When you go outside of the civilized areas, that's why the outside of the civilized areas are usually referred to as the wilds. It's wild. It's a jungle. The jungle today, they call the cities the jungles, but it's not supposed to be. The jungles always were in the old days, that was in the Amazon. So when you go outside into the jungles, oh, there you do not have the protection, the shmir of civilization. And there, the mazikin, all of these possible powers that come to be machri v'seilem, they come to destroy. There they have a greater shlita, they have a greater force. And therefore, someone who is traveling, he needs a greater shmira. He needs to be taken care of, and he needs greater chesed. Why we find that when we go outside of civilization, there the mazikim are stronger, has to do with the Gemara that we quoted. It states that Adam HaRishon, he was Gozar. He decreed where people should live and where people shouldn't live. What area should be inhabited and what area should not be inhabited. The Maral explains it doesn't mean that he actually decreed this with dibur, with a statement. Where he said that the Anadic should not be inhabited. North America should be inhabited. No, not with dibur. But this was natural. Why? Because the Chazal tell us that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam, and it says V'odis Nosan, the land he gave to Adam. Adam was Misefe Lamat Sefe. He was so big when he was created, he filled the entire world. And it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought earth, or he made him from all parts of the world. Now just like in the human body, there are organs that are very important, there are organs that are less important, and then there are organs which are least important. So was it with the world. There are lands which are very important, lands which are not so important, and lands which are least important. For example, the Chazal tell us that Kodesh Baruch Hu brought the soil of Eretz Yisrael to make the head of Adam HaRishon. Because the head is the most important, it has the mind, the brain, and this correlated with Eretz Yisrael, which was the most important land in the world. So, Adam HaRishon, therefore, the parts of his body which correlated to the important, the parts of his body which were important, the important parts of his body which correlated to the important parts of the world, these places became the inhabited places. And the parts of his body which correlated with the very unimportant places of the world, the unimportant parts of his body, even though it was all necessary, it's necessary in the world scheme to have desert and to have Arctic, and also these correlated with the lands which were of least importance, and these were not given over, therefore, to habitation. Since they were not given over to habitation, they were never meant to be settled, so they were left outside of the domain of man. If they're left outside of the domain of man, oh, then they became the domain of the other powers of the world. But those areas which became the domain of man, so this was man, and the other powers in the world had to leave these areas. For example, you take the sea. Right? The sea is an area which is not inhabited by man. So therefore it's inhabited by other powers. Now, this is what the Gemara means, he explains, when he says that Rav Kahana was being melada, his chaver, from Pumnara, and once they came to these groves of palm trees, he said, all right, I'll leave you now. And he says, they say these palm trees, these date trees have been here since the time of Adam HaRishon. This was a place which was inhabited. There were groves of trees. And as long as anyone could remember, there were always these trees here. In other words, from the beginning of time, this was a land which was set aside for people to use. If it's a land set aside for people to use, then it's part of the issue. It's part of the people's lands. Then we don't have to worry. I've left you off in a safe place. And that's why the Gemara brings further the story with Adam HaRishon. There's a second reason also why once you go out of the inhabited areas, you have to be careful. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells with people. He created the world that it should be inhabited by people. And He dwells with people. And He dwells with the klal. He dwells with the tzibur. He doesn't dwell with individuals as much as He dwells with a tzibur. His main shechina, His main presence is with communities, not with individuals. So therefore, when you're in civilization, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. When you leave civilization and you're an individual sailing across the ocean or crossing a desert, you're not part of a community. You're not part of a tzibur. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence there is far weaker than it is Mitech HaYishuv. Therefore, this is another reason why other keches, other powers are misgaber, they become strong, and a person needs shmira. A person needs a special guardianship. Therefore, when someone is traveling, he's an orech, there's a special mitzvah to do chesed with him. Because he, besides the physical or emotional discomforts which the journey brings to him, he is in a special situation that he needs chesed and he needs shmira. And this is why there's a special mitzvah of achnosis orchim to do. It's a mitzvah to do chesed with everyone, but a special mitzvah of chesed to do with travelers. Now we come to the Levaya. See? So what now is the reason of the Levaya to escort someone? There are two reasons. Now firstly, we're not speaking here where you're escorting him for direct purposes of physical safety. In other words, we're not speaking where you go with a military escort, an armed convoy with him. I mean, then a varitz mitzvah. See, if somebody is traveling through dangerous land and you send a few armored vehicles and jeeps and whatnot to escort him, then that's for sure a great mitzvah. Right? But we're not speaking only in that case. These cases of the Gemara are speaking that where he was traveling, there was no immediate danger, but still they held of the great mitzvah of escorting him. So what is this purpose? Here there are two purposes, two reasons. One is to give machaver, that there should be a bond of people with him. Since he's leaving civilization and he's going out alone, says a mahalek b'derech yechidi, he's going out alone. Or even if somebody, let's say, is with someone, but they both are leaving civilization and they're going out, it's important that he should still be bound to the community, to the tzibur, to the yishuv. And in this way, he will have the protection of the yishuv with him. Even though you don't go with him all of the way, but if you go with him part of the way, So this shows that he's still part of the community, part of the people. So when he leaves, but he still has a bond to the people. So the first reason we are citing is Shem Ishabrus, in order that there should be a Chabura, that there should be, he should still have a bond to the group of people that he's leaving. And this will tie him to the Tzibur, tie him to the community, and therefore this takes away that danger of sending him out alone, where he's detached and he's isolated from the Tzibur. Even though if you don't go all the way with him. This is one reason. According to if to fulfill theoretically this mitzvah should be fulfilled by someone going the entire journey with him and not leaving them alone at all. But this is totally impossible and practical, because every time someone goes on a journey, he can't take people with him that don't have to go on the journey. So therefore we were given a mitzvah levaya at least to escort him partially. By escorting him partially, we are demonstrating that he is still part of the yishuv, still part of the community, and we are being mamshich, we are extending to him a kodesh baruch hu shmiro. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells with the Yishuv, with the people, and not in the places where there are no people. So this is the first reason for Levaya. And this is for a Shmira. This will give him a guardianship. Now this is the second reason. And this is for Kovet, to give him honor. You know, Levaya, escort, is besides the fact that it's for personal safety, it is also done for honor. For example, a king never walks alone. A tsar, a prince, never walks alone. An Adam Choshev, the Gemara says, also Lord Choshev, an Adam Choshev, an important person doesn't walk alone. That's not lefik feidu, that's not in accordance to his honor. You'll never find a king walking alone. He has escorts. Today you won't find a king walking along, basically because he's got bodyguards. See, so now we're talking about the actual, the real Levaya. Right? But in the old days of civilization, see, even if there was no danger, a king wouldn't walk alone, and this was known as an honor guard. What was an honor guard? An honor guard was the king's escorts that were there not to guard him, because it wasn't necessary to guard him, but for honor. You always found a king didn't walk alone, a prince didn't walk alone, but they would have an escort, an honor guard. This is the reason, one of the reasons why by a chosen and kala we are melava them to the chuppah, not because they need a military escort, because the same kovet, a chosen de melamelech, and a kala is like a malko. They are given honor. The fact is, the ones that escort the kala, the bride, are called maids of honor. This is also one of the reasons of Levai Sameis, that when a person dies, heaven forbid, and we bury him, it's a mitzvah that the people should go together with him and together. Because why? He doesn't need the shmira, but this is the honor. So a second reason of Levaya is l'shem kovet, to honor the person. Now, when we honor a person, though, actually, this is going to be a shmira for him also. It will guard him. And there's a deep reason for this. Why must we honor an individual? Why must we give him kovet? The reason why we must honor a person is because he was created b'tzelem Elokim. We don't find where we have to honor animals. You're not malava animals. You don't stand up for them. You don't give them honor. We find people you have to give honor. What's the difference? When it comes to chesed, we're obligated to do chesed for animals also. States HaKadosh Baruch Hu does chesed l'chol b'yosef. He does chesed to all of his creations. But by honor, we don't find a mitzvah where you have to honor animals. You have to feed them. So why must we honor people? The answer to that is because people were created b'tzelem elokim. They were given the image of Hashem. And that image in man requires that we honor them. This is why we must honor a person. When we give honor to that person and to that image, we are strengthening that tzelem, that image. If we do not give honor, if we disgrace that image, or we shame it, or we merely do not give it the proper honor, we are weakening that tzelem. Give you an example. It states that the image of Hashem that's in man, how does it show itself? It shows itself through a light. This is why when a person is not living, when he's dead, the light of the face immediately vanishes. When he's alive, there's a light. That light, that Or Ponov, that's the light of the Tzelem Elokim, of the image of Hashem. The Gemara tells us, when man is shamed, he loses that light. States a malbim penei chavere. The person is embarrassed, he becomes pale. And kilu shefek domim. That's as if he's killed him. Why? Because by shaming him and disgracing him, he has momentarily destroyed the Tzelem Elokim. And that's why the light has vanished from his face. And that's why he's a shefek domim now. It's as if he spilled his blood. There's another Gemara that tells us, Kiven shenitzrach odem lebriyes nishtan aponav. When a man has to come on to ask other people for money, the color of his face becomes pale. He loses his color. Why? Because the Tzelem Elokim that's in man, once he loses that dignity of himself, and he has to come on to other people to ask them for money, that breaks the Tzelem Elokim. And nishtane ponov, the color of his face changes. To the contrary, though, when you give honor to a person, you see his face lights up. Because that's a chizuk, that's a strengthening of the Tzelem Elokim. Now, it states in Parshas Noach. Parshas Noach in Perek Tes Beis. It says, Kodesh Baruch Hu told Noach, "Umorachem v'chitchem yia al kol chayes oretz v'al kol eifa shomayim." Your fear, he's speaking, when man is at the level that he's supposed to be, your fear will be upon all of the creatures of the earth, and all of the birds of the heavens, the Gei Hayom, everything. You will be Meshal, you will rule over. When man is the way he's supposed to be, then he doesn't have to be afraid of anything. To the contrary, all creatures of the world are afraid of him. It's only when he falls, and he's not what he's supposed to be. He doesn't live up to what he's supposed to be. Oh, then it comes out they're not afraid of him. He's afraid of them. This is what it says. The Gemara in Shabbos says, and Davkuf Nun Aleph Omer Aleph. It states, Tinaik ben Yuma Chai Ein Tzorech Lishmoreisei Min Achborim. A child that's one day old, you don't have to guard him from the mice. The mice are afraid of him. The rodents are afraid of him. But Eg Melech HaBoshan Mace, but Og, who was the great giant and the king of Boshan, when he dies, you have to be shame at Tzorech Lishmoreisei Min Achborim. You got to guard him that the rodents shouldn't eat him. Because as long as someone's alive and they have the Tzelem Elokim, then Merachem V'chitchem. So your fear will be cast over all creations.
Therefore, a child is alive, the rodents won't come near him. A person is dead, the rodents aren't afraid. So the same thing here now. When a person, if you let someone go out of town alone, what does this show? This shows that he's not very important to us. He leaves alone, he's not important to us. We have little regard for him. We can't bother ourselves. He doesn't mean that much. So this is a disgrace for the Tzelem Elokim. A disgrace for the Tzelem Elokim. So besides the person going out of the Yishuv, out of civilization, into the wilds, but also it's a weakening now of the image of Hashem in him. And if that's the case, then the wilds will not be afraid of him. And you put him in danger. And it's kilu shefek dam. It's as if you're causing them bloodshed. But if you malava him, you go with him. And why are you going with him? You're going with him to give him honor. So you're strengthening the Tzelem Elokim. Once you strengthen the Tzelem Elokim, then umorachem v'chitchem, then the mazikin won't come near him. They won't come near him. Because they're afraid of a man who has the Tzelem Elokim. Now, with these explanations, we can well understand what the Gemara was saying that we quoted. Firstly, now we understand the Gemara says that you should escort every individual in accordance to his honor. If a Talmud, if a Rebbe is escorting a Talmud this far, if one Chaver is escorting another Chaver another this far, if a Talmud is escorting a Rabbi even further, a Rabbi Muvik even further, because now it must be everyone in accordance to his honor. We also now understand, what does it mean? It says someone who is not Malaves Chaveri, he doesn't escort him, is Kilo Shefek Dam. It's as if that he's spilling blood. Because he means nothing to him, so he's not showing him any honor or any dignity. He's showing him disregard. And this is a weakening of the Tzelem Elokim. And now, the powers outside of the Yishuv will not be afraid. They'll have a greater memshola, they'll have a greater hand over him. And that's like, our Gemara, Egla Rufa. That if we find someone who is on the journey and he's dead, there's a great likelihood that what caused the death, what allowed him to fall into the hands of the murderers, because patranu belay levaya, because the townspeople let him go without any escort, and therefore he was left without this shmira, and he was left without this honor, and therefore they are responsible, and therefore the Beis Din must come. When they will say, Yodeinu leishofchu es adam hazeh ve'ineinu leroh. No, we didn't have anything to do with it. We didn't see him leave where we left him leave without levaya. Had we known about it, we certainly would have been melavi him. And actually, it's what it says, it's kilu shefek dam. The whole reason why do we find murder is such a great sin in the Torah. Because also in Bereishis Tes by Neach and Posek Vov, it states Shefik Dama Odem Bodem Domi Yishofich, that when you spill the blood of a person, then that blood of that murder should be spilled in return. Ki Betzelem Elokim Osras Odem, because he has destroyed the Tzelem Elokim. The reason why murder is such a cardinal avera is because he has murdered a person who was made in the image of Hashem. Also now, when you escort a person and you bring him under the shmira, under the guardianship, whatever reason we mentioned, but it comes out that he is elevated enormously, you are also elevated with him. The Gemara tells us that when you malave someone, not only the mislave, the one who is being escorted, will not be hurt, but the one who's escorting him also will have no hesit, no hurt come to himself. Because since he's elevating this other person to such heights of being totally secure and guarded, this will happen to him also. And therefore we find that the reward of being malave is ein lo shir. Mara brings ein lo shir. There is no interruption to it. Because we are going into the highest heights. And it brings the case of Shoftim, where this Kenani showed the soldiers how to get into the city. And there they were al aderech, they were in the wilds, and he helped them. And his reward was atzef kol aderech, until the end of all generations. And this was the reason why Paroi, when he came and he brought Avraham such security, so in return he was given that memshola, that power to rule over Avraham. And then finally, this is why the Gemara tells us that what happens if someone has to go on the derech and he has no one to escort him, what should he do? Then yasik b'teira, he should learn Torah. Why? Because then Torah is the greatest escort. Why do we say you need an escort? Because you're going away from civilization. Torah is the source of all civilization. It states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked into the Torah, and from the Torah he created civilization. He created the world. So Torah is the source of civilization. That's why a person who's learning Torah will never be alone. If a person's lonely, let him study Torah. In this way he joins himself to the entire creation. If he has to go out into the wilderness alone, then if he studies Torah, he's not in the wilderness. This is the greatest escort. Therefore, someone who has to go away and he has no levaya, he should be Isaac B'Torah. I just wanted to conclude with the something that Chofetz Chaim brings. Incidentally, the Chofetz Chaim brings in the Sefer Avos Chesed in Perek Beis of the section which deals on Achnosis Orchim. In his Agor, in his footnotes, he brings that the Rambam brings the halachas of Levaya and Perek Yudalad of Hilchas Ovel. The Rambam there writes, "Gedela hachnosis orchim mekabalos bnei ashkina," that to take care of the orchim is greater than even receiving the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this came from Avraham Avinu. And then he writes, Levayim yesem achnososim, and even greater than to take them into your house is to escort them out of your house. Omru chachomim kol sheir malavi kilu sheifik domim, and he quotes many. The Rambam quotes many of the Gemaras that we read from this evening. Then it says, afila malaves chaveri dal ramish leishlos kar harbe. Even if you walk with your fellow man for 4 cubits, you have a great schar. And then the Rambam brings the various shiurim, how far do you have to walk with each person. Now the Chofetz Chaim asks a question. He says, he says, how come that today we don't do this? You find it is the common practice where you escort someone out of your house or you escort someone to the door. You should know this is a Jewish custom. By the non-Jews you don't find this so often. Very common practice amongst Jews, even not by travelers, that when you go see someone in his home or you go see someone in his office, that usually those people who have Jewish traits and they have Jewish values and manners, they'll always see the person out. They won't just say goodbye, but they walk with him to the door or they walk with him to the elevator. This is common Jewish practice. But this is not all over. I once read that by the nobility in England, there the protocol was that if you come to visit someone in his house and then he takes leave from you, if he's also nobility, you walk him to the door. But if he's a lower status than you, then you don't walk him to the door. You say goodbye to him and he finds his own way to the door. See? So you should know this is a Jewish practice and this comes from the mitzvah Levaya. comes from Avraham Avinu. And someone in your home, especially if he's going on a journey, you usually walk him out to the road. This is the Dalet Amos that the Gemara is speaking about. There is the common practice, and this is very, very strong here in Johannesburg, Baruch Hashem, that when people go on journeys and they go to the airport, they have people that take them to the airport. Or they go to the train, there are people that take them to the train. This is not only for convenience to give them a lift, see, but or to help them with the baggage, which is also a very, very big mitzvah. But this is mitzvah levaya. This is mitzvah levaya. This comes from, this is the Jewish values handed down. But the Chofetz Chaim asks another question. He says, but the Gemara says that's not enough. The Gemara says that you have to walk with him till out of the city. All right, today will be difficult with the trains and the planes. If you got on the plane, you'd have a difficult time getting off the plane. But we don't even find it otherwise. It says you have to walk with him till out of the city. And the Gemara goes through all kinds of calculations. How far out of the city? So he says, why don't we find this today? So he says he looked, and finally he found one reason brought in Cheshim Mishpat from the Sma, that's Mishum Kovet, and we waive it for honor, and we waive it today. We waive it. In other words, we tell the person, enough. You know, walk me to the door and sufficient. So he says, that's not such a good answer, because from the Gemara it's Mashma that you can't always waive this, you shouldn't always waive it, and so forth. Alright, then he says perhaps another reason. He says the Rambam says that the Beis Din had to hire people and collect tax from the city people who would escort the travelers out of the city and show them the way. He brings the greatest levaya is to make sure that he knows the way. Just like by the Shoftim there, in Pasha Shoftim, they were looking for the way, and this man showed him the way. That's the greatest thing, to make sure he knows the way and doesn't get lost. So he says, perhaps this mitzvah was more prevalent in their days because their roads were not marked. They didn't have a system that we have today with streets, street signs and so forth. The roads were not marked. So when a person left the city, you had to tell them, you know, which road to take, and you turn left and you turn right and so forth and so on. And if he took a bad turn, he could be in trouble, because he could end up in the woods and it's getting dark and it's dangerous. So therefore, there was the mitzvah to fulfill the totality, where they used to go a long way with him to make sure that he got on the right road. Well, today, he said, our roads are marked, especially today if you're going by plane or train. It's not applicable unless if a person is driving. Although sometimes you do find a gentleman on the road, you know. You ask the person, will you show me direction on the road? And he says, come, follow me, I'll take you. Or sometimes they put you on the right road. So the Chofetz Chaim says, this is the main mitzvah of Allah, that you should put him on the right road. So today he says, perhaps it's not so applicable, and therefore, since the Gemara mentions that Afilu Dalet Amos, even 4 cubits, also is a great reward, so therefore we fulfill it with the minimum. This is what he writes. But he says on this, but everything that he's writing there, this is only for a schus, only to justify the practice that we don't do it. But he says, but certainly a person should do exactly what he can do. And if he can be malave him more, then he must do more than the 4 amas. And he says, especially if a person is going on a journey and he's not sure of the way, and there's the possibility he'll get lost. He says, there vada, he says, that if you want this mitzvah with its enormous reward, he says, there the mitzvah is to take him part of the journey to make sure that he gets on the way. And he says, therefore, not only then it's an obligation. If it's necessary to take him out of the city to show him the way, he says, then there's an obligation. So this is what he says in regards to this practice. At any rate, this evening we learned the mitzvah of Egla Rufa, and the Bezdin and the people of the city were held obligated. They were held guilty for this crime. Why? One would think, what does it have to do? I mean, because they didn't give him food and because they didn't escort him. So what? Why should they be held guilty because he was murdered by someone else? Now, but call Misha Eina Malavis Chaveri Ki L'Shefik Dam. That when there's a traveler leaving and you do not escort him, then it is close to the shedding of blood for these reasons that we gave. Because when someone leaves the Yishuv, so he needs a Shmira. And even if a person is malavi him, just part of the way, but even a little of the way, okay, so he gives him that extra shmira, which can save him from, heaven forbid, a calamity, ala derech. So this is what the zakenim had to say: Yodayim leishofchu es adam hazeh veinayin yodenu veinenu leinu. We didn't see him in order to send him away without an escort, and we didn't send him away without food. This is the mitzvah of Egla Rufa, and the great mitzvah of Achnosis Orchi in particular, to be Malave Eschaveri.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway, 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.